All right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. This will be released on Saturday. I think it's the 18th of February 2023. It's Thursday night, the 16th. We're recording this out. It's about 7:30 at night. Thanks for all the emails sent in and the contact. Remember, if you do want to contact us, info@sheepfarm.co.uk. The format of the shows, we'll try and release a minimum of about 4 shows a month. And they'll all be released on a Saturday, so if you don't get a reminder email, don't worry about it, because they're always there on a Saturday. Members get the full podcast, however long it is, and non-members get part one, however long that is. Podcasts are always on sheepfarm.co.uk. If you go to podcast, the latest one will be there. Like I said, people not getting any. If you're not getting any email notifications for some reason, you've dropped off or it's gone into your spam, it don't matter because they'll be there on a Saturday. Thanks to all his guests who appear and everyone who listens and subscribes, and thanks for the support of everybody. There's a couple of issues, just get a bit of this out of way. And there's one issue. Some people who are joining, and it seems to be people who are joining for a quarter, they seem to join, then it drops off after a day.
Right.
Don't know why. Yeah. A glitch in the system. I think it's an angle from the old YouTube nonsense, but... If that happens, please email us because it's easily rectified and it's not happening to everybody. But if it does happen, just let us know. Also, I'm uploading videos, the old ones, a lot of the old content that we had on ScrewTube. I'm uploading it to Rumble. So they all seem to be going in nice date order and number order. So if you want to catch up with any of the old stuff, I've put them on from number one. All the way up. I think I'm on to about 24 or something like that now. I'm on with the Sage ones anyway. That's what's just uploading now, I do believe, as we speak. Oh, no. Yeah, Sage part two. So, yeah, if you want to catch up with them. It's interesting to see sometimes when you look back through those old ones, Chris, what we've done.
I never listened to any of those old ones. I can't listen to myself.
Yeah. I listen to them because I want to have a look at what information we've put there and just to make sure it's all correct and the quality of what we've put on as well.
And you like the sound of your own voice.
And apparently I like the sound of my own voice. I have to put up with your voice, so I might as well listen to something else that I get on with. So, yeah, uploading them to Rumble as we speak. We did the Huxley first part the other day. What did you think of that recording, Chris?
No, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Without giving the game away.
I think it'll bring a different... It sounds different. When it felt different doing it because you've had it in the burners for ages. Yeah. And there was no rush. We just did an hour or so the other day. I quite enjoyed it. It felt a bit different, didn't it?
It felt very different. It seemed to... Which, you know where I'm like, I always like to pick the ball up and move it to improve stuff, if you like, constantly. And it felt an improvement on what we've been doing, like the podcast have improved, we've improved the sound, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And even the content has got more, where it's more of a format. And I wanted to do the same with Meet the Flockers, because that's sort of where we cut our teeth, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's the backbone, isn't it, of research, I think. Mm. And... Yeah, well, why not just make it better? I mean, I don't know. It just seemed less rushed because we're not in it because it is relevant, but it's not relevant to this moment. Mm. So there's no rush to get it out. I think some of the others when we're doing them in the middle of the nonsense, we're a bit of a rush. One wanted to get them out as quick as possible.
I think you found this a lot more interesting, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it's right up my alley, isn't it? It's got all sorts in it. It's got touches on everything. I think, and the fact that it's called the Huxley, that's just the backbone of it, and it branches off all over the shop. Mm. That's what makes it.
Yeah, well, part one is probably going to be. There's probably going to be at least three episodes of about, I'd say, roughly an hour and a half each. Maybe a little bit more on each of them, but roughly an hour and a half each. That'll be part one, and part one is called "Echoes of the Huxleys," which are all these things that are intertwined and linked to the Huxleys, like the first and second Summer of Love. And I don't want to give the game away what we're talking about, but and the things that are surrounding all that. And the links to this family, how it, and also the energy as well, what was created. It's quite interesting to see when you start doing this type of research.
Well, it's still going on, isn't it? And it's going
on. Yeah, still going
on. 100 years, more than 100 years.
More than 100 years. Yeah.
Just makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, it just makes you wonder. You know, when we were just looking at them pictures from just a minute ago, and do these characters know what's going on in the whole world? And they know they've got to be here for an X amount of time and do this and that. And they must know. They must have an idea of the outcome. They must do, because you wouldn't invest your whole life in a system without having some information.
No,
would you?
Well, it's a cult, isn't it? We hear a lot of people, Matt Majerski, Mark Devlin, lots of people talking about this. And it seems to be that a lot of these people, we're fascinated, if you like, with the materialism, but these seem to hover around inside. They're not interested in materialism. It's like they've got a mission.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, yeah.
Yeah.
The mission's more important than money and comfort, personal comfort.
Yes, yeah.
Even though a lot of men are rich because they want to be comfortable. I suppose. But
and also it hides them in the system, doesn't it? You sort of expect them type of people to become rich, so it hides them within the system.
Don't get me wrong. When I say they know, I don't mean Boris Johnson and Richie Sunak. No. I'm on about these deeper characters.
Yeah.
Because when you see those giggling tits on TV, they are interested in money, aren't they?
Stooges. Yeah. Stooges. Yeah. What I think is the work we did on the politicos, if you like, was nothing in comparison to what these people are. Mm. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I think we said it in that podcast that we're witnessing the zeros and ones. I think we've said it quite a lot. That's what this research has done for me. It's solidified that in my mind that we for some reason, I was talking to a mate of mine, Kirk, a few hours ago, and we were talking about this like we do, that we can see the veil, if you like. We can't see behind it just yet, but we can see the veil and we can see who's operating it. Everything that we discuss and other people discuss, you know, it's an interesting time to be alive.
We can see the veil, or is the veil lifting slowly? Or has been doing for the last 10 years, 20 years or whatever. I would listen to guess.
Well, which piss you're on? We're trying to open that quietly, but
got a nice bottle of Sali Salentino from Puglia. I always like Puglian red wine. Mm. It's one of them.
Puglian witch piss.
Puglian witch piss. Yes.
Yeah.
I've never been to Puglia. Me and Miss Ron about going this summer.
Right.
I'd like to go there.
Get yourself gone.
Yeah, cheap wine, gallons of it.
Galleons of cheap wine.
Pasta, all those favours.
Yeah. One interesting thing happened. I went to Scotland for a couple of days. How mad is this? I drove up, I've been up that road a few times to Scotland, and the Huxley research, I was researching something, and I passed the town. I thought, that's that town I've just been researching. It came up in the Huxleys, right? I won't go into it because I don't want to give it away, but the town is, obviously it's a town that you wouldn't think of, but yeah, the castle there and what have you. That's why it came up, because a lot of these entities, let's call them, were from bloodlines that built castles all over the UK. Mm. I mean, again, does that really surprise us? A lot of the counterculture and stuff like that. The forebears were building castles. But anyway. When I went up to Scotland, my daughter had told me that she'd been having tummy issues and feeling a bit queasy. And I said, what are you telling me? Sounds like you've got a magnesium deficiency. And mine had just come. It sounds like I'm advertising Clive's magnesium capsules. But anyway, right, I suppose I am. I mean, we don't gain anything from Clive's magnesium. I want to make that straight. All I'm saying is that this is what I'm witnessing. And I said, look, I think you've got a magnesium deficiency, among other stuff. And imagine trying to force a 17-year-old that knows everything better than you to have some magnesium capsules.
Says everyone's got a magnesium deficiency, haven't they?
Yeah, I would agree. Anyway, she had one. About 3 hours later, I said to her, how's your tummy? She went, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Mm. Bear in mind, she's been troubling her. Her mum were ready for taking her to doctors.
Right.
So she shouldn't live with me, but her mum would take ready for taking her to doctors.
Can a magnesium problem create a sick stomach problem?
Of course it can. Digestive issues. Well, right. Magnesium is the most required element or mineral in the human body.
Yeah.
I think that and an amino acid called L-glutamine is the most abundant. I think magnesium controls literally hundreds, if 800 or whatever.
I remember Clive
actions
saying
in the human body.
He enters you on a cellular level, was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to sell his magnesium again here, but because, and like you said, we don't get nothing out of it. But I've wanged on for ages that I have a bad back, and I've had a bad back for about 20 years. And I ran out of it same time as you. We probably got ours at the same time, didn't we? So we ran out at the same time. And I thought, I'm going to leave it just to see what happens. And I'm doing a couple of days in a kitchen, 2 or 3 days in a kitchen. But the bad back has not returned over the last year since I've been taking it. And I left it a week and it came back sure as nuts on Tuesday. And it was, and I forgot how bad it was. Just, it's not like I can't walk, but it's just a crap, dull ache. Every movement hurts. You know what I mean? Mine came today, so I've been necking them, and hopefully it's going to work. It's interesting. You've got to experiment on yourself, haven't you? And that
you have.
I didn't know.
I've done 15 years of experimenting on myself.
I thought it's because I'm not working five doubles a week like I used to do. Yeah. You know, is it age or whatever? But I had a bad back from my late 20s, and on different levels. But the dull shit ache was always there. Even lying down in a car, driving a car, lying down, anything, you could always feel it. And it took that edge off it. I'm not saying it never hurts, but it didn't. Nothing like it did this week. It came back with a vengeance. Yeah. Shite.
Well, yeah, it's not good back pain, joint pain at all. And I'm not saying it works for everybody, because I've got to say there's certain things. I've taken tons of magnesium and done loads of different stuff. It's never got rid of the joint pain in my neck, for argument's sake.
No, I've still got a stiff neck fat. But I think that's
my hips have eased up. You know, I've got snake hips again now. To me, magnesium's one way. And I know a lot of people can't handle it. And this is, I think somebody sent us an email, actually. And one thing I wanted to address, actually. And it was a conversation I had with Clive. Some people, when we were going through our Lyme therapy, had digestive issues, and my wife did. And when she ate magnesium, it was dreadful for her. And it took us ages to work out what were causing it. Because obviously, you need magnesium. These functional doctors were saying you need magnesium, which you do. We're magnesium deficient. Mm. But it were contributing to the inflammation and a lot of bloating. Because apparently, obviously, a lot of the bad stuff lives off it as well. Because it's a good nutrient.
Parasites. Yeah?
Whatever, yeah. So if you eat it, it causes problems. So we were having to bath in it, put his feet in it, do everything that without eating it until we got to a point where we could handle it again.
Right.
So a lady said she tried some magnesium. I can't remember where she got it, whether it was Clive's or not. It's sort of irrelevant anyway, because I've been through all that. That's a digestive issue.
Right.
You've got a digestive issue, not a magnesium issue, as in you've got a problem.
Well, you need to address the digestive
problem. Exactly, yes.
Before the magnesium.
And so, yeah, it took us a good few months of hardcore eating. We went to chicken broths, you know, that's all we were eating. Really strict, stricter than I am now. And that was strict, or more restrictive than I am now. And that was proper hardcore dieting, followed it every day type of thing. And so, yeah, even daft things like you think broccoli's good, but that's high in a lot of minerals. That can cause bloating. But anyway, so for some people, superfoods or important nutrition is not okay taken in certain ways. If you had magnesium on an IV, for argument's sake, you know, that'd be all right, because it wouldn't enter the gut, enter the bloodstream.
Right, can you get magnesium bath salts, can you?
You get magnesium spray, magnesium bath salts.
I've used a spray. I had some of that spray, and when I ran out of tablets, I sprayed myself for that, and it worked again. It works.
But if you have IVs and it's got magnesium in, that helps as well. So if you have,
it's funny that I say that, because I used to get an urge, right, when I was working on more in kitchens and probably a bit more run down. I'd get an urge for a big bowl of green veg, which is magnesium, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two or three times a week. Yeah. I'd insist on a big bowl of green veg or whatever we're eating. You know what I mean?
Well, it could be all sorts of different stuff in that.
But another thing to bring up as well, Fatty, is the... I can't say it. What is that produce, that flower one? The
Mimosa. Mimosa Perica.
Yeah, I keep forgetting the first name.
The Parasite
Mimosa,
one, yeah.
Mimosa Perica. Just because a lot of people have... Since you did that, it's obviously had an impact, right? Because a lot of people are taking it and it's working from the emails we get. But then people are asking which one to get. I asked you myself because I bought some... What, 2 years ago, and I ain't had any since. So I actually want to get some more.
But you didn't want to say, right, look, we sell it. Right?
All right.
We sell it, yeah?
Oh,
now, I can
again.
Only tell you what I've used, right? No, it's not that. But
no,
what I mean by that is I haven't got an online shop or anything. So,
no, but
the one we sell is Selcor, right? That's one that I used most of. But I've used other ones. I can't remember the brand names of the other ones because I think one's disappeared now. It's not there. But I've used three or four different brands, and all of them seem to work.
Right. So it's not so
Selcor's the guy whose podcast I first listened to who were telling me about it, and I thought I ain't buying his because if he's just trying to sell me something, it's crap. I prefer to get conned off somebody who ain't trying to sell me it. You get me drift. So I went through a couple and then bought his because it worked. So I'll support him now, you know,
right?
Or enough. Them, whoever it is, right. You know. But there is a couple of them who work together. These guys, they've got a sort of like a product each. So Mimosa Perica, I've forgotten how much we sell it for now. Selcor's quite expensive than the ones on eBay. I know that, but Amazon. It's all organic, etc.
Get it on Amazon, can't you? I directed someone because I bought mine.
Not Selcor, you can't. Not Selcor.
No, but I mean, you can buy decent ones, can't you?
I don't know on Amazon. It's a long time since I've looked.
Someone mentioned, by the way, that they went to Holland and Barrett, and they didn't. Oh, they went in. No, they went
have
into
a clue.
Not
yeah,
Holland and Barrett,
I was
sorry,
speaking.
No, sorry, they went into a chemist and he looked at him like he were mental.
I was speaking to a master herbalist and mentioned it to him and he didn't even know about it.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. And functional doctors don't know. I told several, they said, how are you getting rid of parasites? You should take wormwood. I said, taking that. What? Black walnuts, taking that. Clove, taking all them. But this stuff, what is it? Mimosa Perica. Never heard of it. I should be charging you. I'm paying you, right?
Is that what the wormwood, what you just said then? Black walnut.
Black walnut, yeah.
It's funny you bring that up, right? Because just the other day, I found those three in jars, and I must have bought them about a year ago. They're still in date. And I remember you neck like twice a day. So I just started necking them again because I thought I might as well get rid of them.
Yeah.
But they just clean your intestines out.
They are antiparasitical, and they do obviously work. When we're going to start doing, at some point, when we get, we're going to start doing live blood testing, so you can actually see them swimming around in your blood.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exciting. So you can actually see them. But not only that, then you can see them after a treatment as well. But so you can do a before and after type of thing.
That'd be fascinating.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And when we start doing the hydrotherapy colonics with ozone, you can see the parasites coming out into the tube.
Right. Bloody hell.
Anyway.
What's that film? That reminds me of that film, that Cure for Wellness. You won't have seen it, but...
No.
That's got parasites in it everywhere.
Well, again, the Rockefellers. You go to your doctors. They never mention the parasites. It was part of Rockefeller medicine, wasn't it? In 19, Flexner Report and all that, where they stopped telling people about what really harming them. And that's really the basis of it all, isn't it? Let's tell them what they wanted to believe is going to make them better, that doesn't really make them better. It poisons them even more.
I think that film, A Cure for Wellness, off the top of my head, it's like, I saw it some years ago, but it was full of everything. I think it's in a manor house in Switzerland. the rich people go there to cure themselves. You know, it's like in the 1950s, I think. And then it turns out they're draining them. If I get this right, I might have it wrong. They're draining them to make a potion that makes them live forever, basically.
Right.
And then they've got there's parasites everywhere. And they've got all the dead bodies there. And they're draining some fluid out of them as a tonic to help.
That'll never happen.
Forever. But should we mention that thing with the logo, Fire?
We can do it in a bit. One thing I want to say is I'm going to start doing a podcast, a short podcast, with a mate of mine who's got Lyme disease. I've always been a bit apprehensive of doing one about Lyme disease, you know.
Why?
Because this stuff's all right doing research on this, and I've done loads on Lyme disease, but it's quite a personal thing. you're sort of opening your, you understand where I'm coming from. It's a journey. That's why I've been, but I think the time's right, really. I just need to talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah, why not?
My mate wants to do half hour, 45 minutes, something like that, where we just talk about it, how it's affected us, what it is. Kirk.
Kirk, yeah. I've never met him, but yeah, I've heard you talk about him a lot.
Yeah, he was a fellow chef, innit?
Yeah, that's right. Why not? So, I think people would find it interesting because it's still in the dark, that subject, really, isn't it? No one really talks about it.
Well, do you know what? It's not even just about Lyme disease. It's what, like, his approach is slightly different to mine, how he helped himself. We did similar things, but he did slightly different things. So not everybody's approach works for everybody, and not everybody's approach is right or wrong. You know, it's just how you personally do it. But he's another one that's got himself back up and running.
He was in a bad way when you first met him, wasn't he?
He was in a bad way, not just when I first met him, but a few years before. He were bedbound.
No, but I'm saying, by the time you met him, he was in a bad way, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was. He wasn't as bad as he was by the sound of what he said, but yeah, he were. And a couple of years before that, I were in a bad way as well. So it's interesting how people get this, some of us get ourselves back up and running. But anyway, yeah. Chris mentioned the logo, but quite by accident, right?
Shenanigans.
Somebody sent us a picture and a video of somebody wearing a Sheep Farm logo.
It was Johnny Fogg.
Yeah, Johnny. And unbeknown to him, that is actually a clothing brand.
He was wearing...
Australian cycling clothing brand.
He was on his way to work and he saw someone in a pair of shorts and he sent me a picture of it.
No, long trousers.
Cycling lycra. Cycling mammal trousers, clothing.
Yeah. Mammal clothing, yeah.
And we got quite excited about it because we're like, oh, wow, someone's actually gone to the trouble and printed the logo, la, la, la. Yeah.
And, knobhead.
No, do you know what? It was funny because it's a reality check to an extent, isn't it? I mean, I know we're not, as ego's out that big, but everyone needs a little ego check. Because I was like, I got all excited. I was like, oh, look at this, showed everyone. And then I sent it to a guy I know and he sent me a picture back and it's a clothing cycling label called Black Sheep. And they've literally got the same logo as us.
and in fairness, it was good timing because we were going to put the our merch store live. So
literally days away. I'd spent hours putting the images together. And now we're going to change it because whether we got into trouble for it or not, we're not
it's
happy.
It's not the point. I like not to be organic that, and unique.
Yeah, we're not happy that our logo, whether it's accidental or whatever, looks like someone else's.
Yes, so, very similar. Very similar as well.
Yeah. I mean, well,
when
it's
you
quite
get close,
striking,
it's slightly different. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's
yeah.
still, that black and white image is quite striking, so it's too it's too close, isn't it?
I always look at it as a good opportunity to start something, get something fresh. Anyway, we will move onwards and upwards, as they say. A few comments. We mentioned charities in the last podcast, and somebody, Julie, sent an email in. She'd worked in a charity, and it's something really that I've been researching for quite a long while, and I know it annoys Chris as much as it does me, but she. Apparently, she'd worked in a charity in Manchester for a few years, in sort of like a management position, and it was like a sports project, and they were sponsored by Coca-Cola, and the main sponsor donating £10 million a year, Coca-Cola. So, and this is a national charity, and they're peddling. Unhealthy drinks full of sugar, just pumping money into these charities. And this is how they get their money. And, you know, it's already a cesspit before the start.
Because, I mean, if you're a charity, you want the money, obviously. But surely if you're a health charity, you shouldn't be taking money from Coca-Cola.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. But, you see, it's the way they view something like Coca-Cola is it's legal, so it's healthy.
You know.
And that is how it's viewed, you know, because it's legal and it's allowed. It's and I would say about charities, right? If Beryl and Sheila start up a charity at the local church, look after pigeons, for argument's sake,
yeah,
They're not doing any money any harm if they're having a collection around church, yeah?
Yeah.
Right? Or having a collection in village or in your local... They're doing good things, right?
Yeah.
Unless the scam raffle, which I doubt it. But anyway, you know, that's different, that
Brenda's is... got her hand in it for a bottle of gin.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
It's still nothing, is it, really?
No. That is organic. But it's when you get up to the likes of this that are getting millions pumped into. They can't allow that to be natural or actually work. They can't allow it to work. Mm. Imagine if you set a charity up and got every homeless person off the streets, which would be difficult, to be fair, because the machine pumps homeless people out on a daily basis, daily. Yeah, relentless.
There's a solution there somewhere, Fatty, isn't there? I mean, yeah, we're not economists, like I said before. Did you see that article I sent you about the homeless in the airport in America? I mean, that was an article, and I forget what the title was now. I should have made a notice, but the title was something like "The Filthy Homeless Outside an Airport in Chicago," and it was in the Daily Mail. But then, if you read the article, it went on the way it talked about them. Right? I'm not blaming anyone for how they talked about it. This is disgusting that this is in our airport, and there's people lying face down in airport, and they've clearly moved into the airport now. I can't park out. One of them, I can't park outside, but these characters have clearly moved into the airport because they had all the stuff with them. So you're talking about a human being whose choice it is to either get his way into the airport and probably get his face stuffed in by a security guard or sleep out in freezing cold.
Well, I mean, you could look at it from that point of view that you're looking at it from. You could also look at it from these poor buggers who are looking for a parking spot or stressed out the mind working. I'm not agreeing with anybody.
That's why I said I understand their point of view.
Yeah,
but
I know.
When you look at it a little, you've only got to take one layer away, Fire, and you're talking about a human being sleeping in the freezing cold.
Well, the issue is not either of them individuals there, the one that's trying to park or get into airport or the one that's sleeping in airport. The issue is with the system. The system is being destroyed. It's not fucked. It's being destroyed on purpose.
That situation
doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
If they can put all this effort into building 10...
Why is there a massive increase in it? That's the point.
If they can put all this effort into building 10 football stadiums in a country that's just full of sand for a World Cup, spending whatever it was, $1 trillion or whatever it is, then they can help people who are homeless. Exactly. The issue is, Chris, that most of these people, right, a lot of them, in some way, are abused, either physically, mentally, by the system, by the families, and they end up running away or getting into trouble or becoming alcoholics. Now, regardless of what or drug addicts or whatever it is, no matter what we say and how much of a blight they are on society, if you want, society is causing it. So exactly. With every success, there's an equal amount, there's more losers. So if you go into a casino and that day there's £1 million being bet, there's going to be, the house wins most of it, a few winners, most of them are losers. And that is what life is like. That's
what life's become. But it's become a more concentrated version of that, hasn't it? Where,
yes.
I'm not agreeing with that
system, by the way. I'm just saying that's what it's like.
But like you said, those guys in the airport is a knock-on effect of a destroyed system.
We
can't fix it. It needs to be destroyed and started again. But all we talk about is how we can fix the health problem and the travel problem. I'm not saying it needs to be destroyed, but it needs to be run by people who actually care about human beings.
But we were just discussing
about the
cult that's running everything.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want a dystopic system we're living. Yeah. They want it to be people to be arguing with each other. They want people to... You're not having a jab. You could kill your grandma. Yeah. Well, I don't want a jab. They want these stupid conversations. You're not wearing a mask. They want these stupid conversations that you're going to have. Like that one you sent me with Jeremy Vine on his stupid bicycle, cycling on that cycle path.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
What a twat.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but he could have stopped. He saw that car turning.
Yeah. So basically, I sent him a video of Jeremy Vine, that fucking lizard-eyed twat.
Weasel.
He's cycling with a camera on his head. I don't even know how he does it. It's like he's got his own fucking drone floating over him. I mean, he had like 360 views, and he's basically cycling. And he put it all on social media, and it shows him going down the cycle lane. and a car pulls in and then like pulls back out again, quite innocently. He's miles away and he just keeps going full pelt towards it and then goes, really, mate, really? I mean, he could have slowed down a little bit.
Well, he did slow down after the guy had done it.
Yeah.
To talk
But he got right up to him, didn't he? He carried on going, oh. So you're telling me you've spent 300 quid on a load of cameras around you, right? You're kind of looking for trouble, aren't you? I don't want to be rude, but you don't want to spend all that money and not actually have an argument.
Not Jeremy Vine. He's looking for trouble, Chris.
Yeah, and he got right up to him. The guy's like, sorry, mate, and drove off. Still felt the need that he needs to put it and use his crappy position and put it on social medias to try and embarrass that poor fucker. What a rat.
I know.
Yeah. We're looking for trouble, again. We're dying, we're gagging for someone to pull out in front of us.
We discussed it in the last one. These people are journalists.
Yeah, it's journalism, that, isn't it?
That is journalism. that is how he earns, is whatever he earns, 750 grand a year, 500 grand a year, whatever it is.
Yeah. Do you know what, Fatty? I don't really like scaving about people, but I remember Vine saying, hug your grandma this Christmas, she'll be dead by New Year. I remember him saying it. So, as far as I'm concerned, his opinion of anything is fucking nonsense.
Yes.
Because that were nonsense, wasn't it? How many people did he scare to death saying that?
Yeah, I saw James Whale say the same thing.
Yeah.
So James Whale saying the same
thing. I saw him hang up on that poor... I saw him slam his phone down on that poor bloody reporter. I think I sent it to you, didn't I? Sorry, she was a nurse, wasn't she? And he basically got into a discussion with her on talk radio and then just hung the phone up and said, I'm not interested in anything yet. And she said she didn't want to take the jibber jab because she's can get an allergic reaction to it. And he just slagged her off and then ended up hanging up on her. That's journalism as well, isn't it? Yeah. Can't have a discussion about it. I'm just going to hang up on you.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we've talked about these so-called journalists. If that's what a journalist is, then they're not what we think they are, or they're not what they think they are, because all they are is agreeing with the narrative, as we know. I'm not trying to, but that is all they are. Whether you work for BBC or the Daily Mirror or whoever it is, none of them question anything. None of them.
No, they don't exist.
Of any relevance to anything. O'Brien, Vine, any of these creeps, they never, ever, ever do any journalism. They read a script, that's it.
And to be fair, even though I don't watch GB News, I'd say they're doing the same in some parallel way because they wouldn't be allowed the airtime, would they? They wouldn't be allowed these politicians on the show. They wouldn't go on their show if they were there for a good reason.
No.
I don't care who they are, I'm sorry, but... some of them sound all right or whatever. Maybe they believe they're doing the right thing, but that channel would not be allowed to exist and say things about adverse reaction stuff. If it just wouldn't be allowed to exist.
No.
It wouldn't be talked about.
No. Although I think they've had the wings clipped a little bit over the last few weeks, that Scottish guy, Neil Oliver, they haven't let that Mark Steyn back on.
Still pantomime, though, Fatty. I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
I mean, maybe they all think they're doing a great thing. I'm not saying I'm not judging.
I think the fringe magnets. I think they've had people on there. They've allowed them on, like Neil Oliver.
Allowed.
Who's obviously waking up, is Neil Oliver. And Mark Steyn, he's obviously seen things, and it's happened to him. He's had a heart attack, probably from the taps. So,
although I will say it, Fatty, someone sent me, I don't know about Neil, I've never watched anything he's done really, to be honest with you. I've listened to a few things, but someone sent us an interesting thing, said, listen to his way he delivers this talk, and is he just saying everything on the agenda, right, word for word, to put the fear of shit into you? So if he, like you say, if he's a fringe magnet, I'm not saying I know, because I've got no idea, but when I watched it, he said, watch it with, someone said, it was like a 10-minute clip, I forget the guy's name who sent it to us, and I did watch it, because I've never really watched him. And you can look at it in one way, you know, and he's saying this, this, and this, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do this. You can listen to it like that and think, oh my God, but you could listen to it another way, that he's actually just telling you what the agenda is. That's possible.
Well, they're not telling us anything new.
No, exactly. Right? There was nothing new.
And anybody listening to us, but the people who he is telling, like the people, the Russell Brand followers or people like that, Nurse Gladys, them type of people, right, who follow him, Coleman, Nurse Gladys.
Campbell.
Campbell, sorry. They're the ones that are just waking up, and they're sort of waking up. And when you read some of the comments under some of this stuff, you can tell that most of the people have only just come around to the fact that they've been had.
Well, actually, I went and looked at some of Nurse Campbell's old videos from 2 years ago. I think I sent you one. And
look at you.
When the jibby... No, I just thought I'd have a look.
He sent me that video. I struggled to watch it, but I understood why he sent it. Yeah.
But he's, when the jibby jab came out, he was clearly excited. Very excited.
Yeah, he was. Excited? Chuffing hell, we're throwing one out.
I was going to say, yeah, frothing it, but yeah, I don't know what was worse. But he was clearly, he was so excited, wasn't he? I mean, and that to me looked like the people when I went down to Cambridge and I went past the Jibby Jab Centre. And they were up to me, here for your Jibby Jab. And they were running around like frenzied lunatics. So excited. I mean, to be fair to them, they were excited because...
I can't be fair to them.
Well, they thought the one Jibby Jab and it'll all be over and then we're all back to square one. Everyone's happy.
Was that the flatten the curve bit or was that a different one?
No, I think that was the first Jibby, very first one. Little did they know there was lined up for 10 more than a load of rooster boosters. What was that joke that came out around that time? The only similar thing between the jabbed and the jabs is none of us will be ever fully vaccinated.
Well, yeah, none of us will be because they kept bringing new ones out.
That's what I'm saying.
Catherine Hamblin sent another comment in about Tourette's syndrome. She said, it'd be interesting to know how many of these young adults with physical or vocal tics have taken ADHD or ADD medication like Adderall, Ritalin, etc. The action is, I suspect, similar to the neuroleptic psych drugs that Jerry talks about, the Thorazine Shuffle type stuff, pseudo Parkinson's symptoms, the lip smacking, facial tics.
I think I mentioned in a previous one, I think that's what she's talking about, is that I worked with two guys in the same place who had Tourette's, not the sweary version, the ticking version. Right. And I think we were tying it kind of to that 1994 Jibby Jab push out.
Yeah.
Which could have caused neurological... I mean, it's only an observation. We don't know, yeah. What did you call it?
First multiple jab, MMR, MMR generation.
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. But who knows? I mean, as getting older, working in kitchens and, you know, working with younger folk as time goes on, I saw that. I saw two people in the early 30s, both with Tourette's. And then there was definitely, I mean, the allergy thing on its own, the rising allergies. I mean, that didn't exist when I started cooking. And then you've got most people, there's a high percentage of people with eczema or skin problems. Mm. These things didn't exist. And I mean, and never mind going into the, you know, autism range that literally didn't exist when we were kids, you know.
No. And if you're in a spectrum, for argument's sake, all you have to do if you're in control is alter that spectrum. It's just a bigger net to catch people in, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if your toenails grow a bit quicker, or you're in the spectrum. You know what I mean? It can be anything they want to put in it.
We've discussed this before as well. They trendified it, didn't they? They made it trendy.
Yes.
I remember... Yeah. What's the cleaning one? Idiot. You keep obsessive compulsive disorder.
I remember that
being trendized. And I remember Uzi was involved in that. Beckham was involved in that. Said he had
Beckham
it.
Was in, yeah. Yeah. Cleaned his hands all the time and stuff like that. Yeah.
Semi-fair. And I remember people start saying, oh, I'm a bit ADHD.
Or I'm a bit
compulsive cleaning. Because I remember a chef saying it to me at work and I said, really? And I opened a microwave and said, that microwave is fucking disgusting. If you were that microwave, it wouldn't look like that, would it? You're just jumping on another trend bracket, like the transgender bullshit. Now, it was the same thing. And all these things were getting you ready for arguing and discussing it heatedly with each other. And it's just bollocks.
Yeah. I mean, it's an extreme routine. It's anxiety, really, which is the fear of the future. Anxiety is the fear of the future.
Yeah, we
do, but I think I agree with you. But I think what happens is people have been programmed to become work in a frenzy, to become anxious. We live on edge constantly.
Are you surprised? You don't have to.
Yeah. But so you've got the TV or that type of technology. You've got the telecommunications technology that's pumping microwaves into you. You've got poisoned water, poisoned food, poisoned air. I mean, where does it stop? Babies are born with, how many chemicals did I say that research had done in early 2000s? Yeah. Some 300 chemicals that cross the placenta.
Even take the chemicals out of it, right? Just think of TV, right? So we're growing up in the 80s, right? And you've got a TV with three channels.
Yeah.
And then it becomes four channels, and it becomes five. And then you get Sky TV, et cetera, et cetera. And then you get laptops and online street. And now you've literally got it in your hand 24/7. Yes. I mean, Sky Mirror around with you. And I remember when, because I was working in the city in London, with Blackberries, I remember them like kind of coming out, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, but I'll be able to do that. No, it just means you're working 24 hours a day. That's all it's done. I mean, technology is fantastic. I mean, we're using technology now, but you've got to see what's happening there, you know.
Yeah, well, when I was on a conversation once with somebody, he said, technology is fantastic. I said, not if it kills you.
Yeah, but it is. We always say this. If it wasn't used for nefarious reasons, it's fantastic, isn't it? And it should be. And technology should be pushed and used, whatever, fine. But there's a world where they can exist together.
Yes.
You know, without it trying to kill you.
Well, or not even trying.
Yeah.
It's actually happening. It is weaponized. The problem is the things that we're using are weaponized things, you know. We're going to talk about in a bit that train crash thing. But all these chemicals that we're utilizing are all toxic. Everything. You walk into your local shop. Everybody says, shop local, shop local. Well, go into your local shop, see what they're selling. Sadly, it's all poisonous. They're still selling Coca-Cola and Lucozade and Warburton's bread and, you know, bottles of milk.
I can give you an example of the
more steroids in than Arnold Schwarzenegger's ass cheek, you know.
I can give you an example of the brainwashing here, right? When I worked in that cafe in Leeds, when I was managing that cafe in Leeds, we used to buy his veg from a guy, you know, in the village in Edinley.
Yeah. Is that where they used to have them nude painters?
Yeah, where I used to do my, I used to, much to Dom's horror, right? I used to do a life drawing class. I managed a cafe in Edinley in Leeds. And in the evening, I used to, once a week, I'd do a life drawing class. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made was telling my mate, Ben Wadsworth.
Ben Wadsworth.
And I said, I went out for a beer with him in Huddersfield. And I said, I've started doing a life drawing class. And he went, a what? And I said, a life drawing class where, you know, I hire a model.
A crackhead turns up, takes his
clothes off. No, hang on a minute. And she or he poses nude and everyone draws him. And my mate Ben, right, who, you know, just he went, you do fucking what? And he went, why do you do that? And I went, well, because I like drawing. And, you know, you drawing nudes is good and, you know, whatever. And fucking hell, I could not get his head around it.
why can't it just be a vase?
Well, when I said it to him, I thought, why have I told him that? Why have I just told Ben this?
Why does it have to be some weirdo sat with his nads out anyway?
Well, you're not as bad as Ben, but it's the same thing, isn't it? You just don't get it, do you? You know. Anyway, what the fuck are we on about? Oh, that were it.
I don't know.
When I managed that cafe in Leeds, it was the last day I met her, and we were on about local, you know, because we're all on the TV to get local produce, da, da, da. And she went, yeah, but we buy everything local. Now, local to us, being brought up on a farm, is you're getting it from a field over there, and you're getting the milk from that guy over there.
You're off account. A farmer, yeah.
And she said, but we get it off, and I said, so is that local sourcing, is it? And she's like, yeah. I goes, go and pick one of them. We just had a delivery. Excuse me. Go and pick one of them cardboard boxes from outside. She picked one up. What does it say on it? It was a box of French beans, I remember. What does it say on it? Where's it from? Nairobi. Is that local, is it? The guy, we're getting it from the guy local, but he's not getting it local.
He's not,
He's getting it from Nairobi.
Nairobi. And they're stealing their water that they're apparently short of. And to grow these strawberries in January.
And we used to grow French beans in England. Now we're not. We're getting from Nairobi.
So what we've got in England is all this green
empty
land.
Empty fields
that French beans would grow. And grow and grow because we get fantastic rain for them. And that farmer is being paid not to grow them.
Yeah.
Does that actually worry you at all?
Yeah. No, but he's getting paid because he's getting paid to put a cell tower in his fucking field. That's why.
Yeah. That's gonna kill him and his cows.
Yeah.
Because I know lots of farmers. I know lots of farmers with them in their field.
Well, if you drive to London from
Cambridge. I mean is, Chris, I know lots of farmers that are ill.
Right.
From the
not like a rapper.
Local round here. Pardon?
And not like a rapper.
No, not like ill.
If you drive from here to London, I do it quite a lot, well, you know, quite regularly, I've noticed the towers in the fit, and you can see where they are. They're in, you know, like, where we grew up, fields are back onto a motorway.
Yes.
And you can see these towers popping up right next to the motorway. So they're basically at the bottom of a farmer's field.
Well, they were an easy catch, weren't the farmers? One, the tight bastards. Two,
No work. There's no work involved.
At the time, Cellnet or Vodafone, we'll give you £1,000 a year for nothing. We'll just put this tower that takes up, you know, a small amount of your land.
You're talking about towers now that look like quite sinister-looking towers. Not yet, like Triffids, that's what I was thinking. Not like they used to look. They now look like full-on, you know.
They do. They look like Triffids. They look very oppressive. Yeah. Very oppressive.
Very oppressive, And I keep noticing popping up around here, actually.
Yeah.
In strange places. And you think, I didn't see that. Where did that come from? I wasn't there.
It just popped up. Just I know near wife's mum and dad's, about half a mile away, they put one up with no planning. But nobody's complained. They put it up and then put a notice on if you've got a complaint about this. So they're putting them up and then you complain after.
And then there's no way they're pulling it.
Right next to a school, Chris.
Right.
Right next to a secondary school.
I mean...
Within a week of that going up, Nick's mum and dad went down with flu-like symptoms. So it would have been interesting to knock on some doors and ask, has anybody been ill while this has been up?
So zero research. This is the thing. Zero research. Don't address it. Don't talk about it. It's not allowed to be discussed. It's not an issue. It's not a conversation even.
Well, that were closed off right at the beginning of this nonsense with 5G, but it's been closed off for years. There's been lots of people doing research on this stuff, not just like people like Barry Trower and Mark Steele, but lots of people in Canada and all over the world doing, talks. And there were a New Zealand guy, I forget what he was called now, doing talks on it, going back into the 2000s and telling people what damage these things were going to cause. And this were on 2 and 3G, it wasn't even 5G.
Well, I've always told you, I remember having a smartphone. I ain't got a smartphone now, but it used to give me a headache and I could feel it buzzing in my hand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, we keep reminding people, don't we?
Well, I'm just saying it. I mean, that's
Arthur Furstenberger. Arthur Furstenberger, Invisible Rainbow. That's a book to read. He maps all this stuff out.
Do you know what, Fi? I just read the introduction of that. I've got the book here. Right. I've not read it yet. I read the introduction. I thought we could do an hour show on the introduction.
Yeah, I think we should do.
I forgot about it. I literally read it a couple of days ago. And just reading the prologue introduction, we could do an hour's discussion around what he says in the introduction.
I think it's an important one to do, is that?
Although I did notice in the intro as well, he says something about being a travelling man. That's Masonic. But who knows? I mean,
again, where I look at
good,
it is...
Is the good travelling men and bad travelling men? Who knows?
Whether it is good or bad, is releasing information.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Putting it out there, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And the downside with the information we look into, you can look into it too much. Because if I say I'm a travelling man, it probably means I'm from a gypsy. Not necessarily. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is everyone talks differently, don't they? And, you know, we can look at stuff too much sometimes. And you've got to take the clues, by the way. I'm not saying ignore the clues. But if it's just one word, if you're saying it all the way through the book, then I'm starting to get red flags everywhere. But even then it could be revelation of the method.
Yeah. But also, even if it is that, and you're reading it and it's vibrating as truth, then it could be, you know, it didn't.
Well, I mean, what he's saying stacks up with other research that I've done from other people. So
yeah, well,
he's not saying anything any different. Yeah.
And I read the intro and it totally resonated. And I thought, fucking hell, that's pretty heavy.
Serious.
Truth.
Serious. Yeah. But it's a really good book. So, it's one of those books that you've got to read once or twice. You can't just read it and think, right, remember all that, because you just no chance.
Well, I read the intro and a bit of the first chapter. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should read the intro and the first chapter and have a discussion about that next time.
Well, if you remember when we first started, we were thinking of ideas, and one of them were going to be book reviews. Yeah. We're going to do, I'm not saying every show is going to be a book review or it's going to be the whole show, but I think a book review is a good one because we're interested in reading, and I'm sure a lot of other people are interested in read. I'm always interested in a new book and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've got too many to catch up with at the minute.
Yeah, me too. I went through a bit of a frenzy for last year or so, actually. I'm looking at my shelf here. I've got half a dozen I haven't read.
Yeah, I haven't all. Just to carry on this, what Catherine said about this Tourette stuff is that On a side, as a side note, I could be taking it too far here. She normally does this, Catherine, but anyway. But her roads always lead. There's nothing wrong with taking it too far. No, because it brings you back round again if you allow it. But you know how Robert Kennedy Jr. has that croaky voice? Mm. There's a form of dystonia called laryngeal dystonia or spasmodic dystonia that sounds like it causes that croak, break, whisper effect. I think that is actually what it's called. He talks about autism a lot, autism, ADHD, psych medication. I don't think that it's any secret about the Kennedys dabbling in pharmaceuticals and obviously their mental health as well. And certainly JFK and RFK's generation JFK took a lot of drugs because he had a bad back. There was something wrong with his back. So he was drugged off his mind a lot. Yeah. Well, who knows? You know, I wonder what they've been... She said, I wonder what they've been taking when they were kids. A lot of these families...
It's funny she says this, Fatty, because I said this the other week. I said, isn't it funny that Robert F. Kennedy... I get confused which one's which, but the new Kennedy
junior,
now.
Yeah, junior.
Isn't it funny that he's speaking out, right, about jibby jabs and things like that, and his voice goes, however it went, Kaffir, I don't know, but his voice goes, so he's speaking out, and now he struggles to talk, because it's quite hard to listen to him, to be fair.
It is, I find it impossible to listen to him.
Because it's quite distressing to listen. It makes you quite anxious, doesn't it? Because I've just downloaded his book, actually. I haven't bought it.
But again, what he says, you can't argue with, can you?
No.
Nobody can argue with what he's saying.
No. It's everything.
Is their family some kind of tortured family, part of this cult that, you know, every now and again one gets knocked off?
Well, like I said earlier, imagine there's like 5% of people who, you know actual information about what happens to us and where we are and the ground we live on and everything. And they've got to operate in their own little world. Unfortunately, they don't tell us. Kennedys are a weird one, aren't they?
She mentions the myelin sheath that coats the nerves and stuff like that. And I look at this and think, you know, this research that's been done on people's health it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? If I know, if I put that thing in that water, it's going to kill all that bacteria in that water, for argument's sake. I'll use that as an example. Whether it does or not, it's another matter. But it also destroys a certain part of immunity to certain things. That means I could be quite innocent, like that guy who were putting chlorine in with that gas mask on at that old people's home, think he's doing them a favour. And really, and the water board don't know, but somewhere knows that that's going to get rid of a load of people or cause whatever, Parkinson's disease or something like that.
That's basically the Mad Hatter story, fight, where I only heard this recently, which is, the Mad Hatter story comes from the fact that we're using mercury in the old West, if you like, in America, to kill the bugs in the hat, right?
Right.
So they use mercury. It kills the bugs, but it also kills everything and also drives you insane. So that's where the Mad Hatter story comes from. They were putting mercury through the fur to kill all the lice and bugs and stuff.
Right.
But then the downside of it is the Hatter who made it.
It kills them.
Bananas, and eventually dying. And that could tie into the fact that that's why dentists have always had the high suicide rate. You know, kills a dentist. They've got mercury floating around in the air.
Yes. Well, mercury, I said that to my dentist. He looked at me like I was nuts. After his third, this was a number of years ago, after his third back operation, he used to be really active, mountain biking all over, going abroad, riding a mountain bike. Then it got to a point where he couldn't ride at all. Had three back operations. I said, it's because of mercury you're breathing in. Nah, nonsense. And in fact, it got to a point where I had to go to another dentist, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, I've got fucking mercury fillings.
But
I remember being in a dentist going back, 25 years ago, and I was talking to her and I said, I shouldn't have said it, actually. I don't know why I said it, but I said, you know, dentists have got the highest suicide rate, one of the highest suicide rates, vets and dentists. And she went, yeah, but I don't take my, some of them are nuts. She said, some of them are nuts. She said this, actually, thinking about it. She said, I've noticed dentists, she was a youngish woman, she's Australian, I remember, I was in Camden at the time when I lived in London. And she said, dentists, when they get older, they do go nuts. I mean, Mad Hatter.
There you go, Mad Hatter.
Dentists go nuts. And she said, but then she said, but I don't take my job too seriously. And I said, can you please stop drilling my tooth?
Who wrote Alice in Wonderland?
I get confused which one it is. What's his name? You know.
Anyway, he's linked to the Huxleys.
Well, he died on the same day as JFK and Aldous Huxley. Is that right?
C.S. Lewis?
C.S. Lewis didn't do it.
No.
No, no, sorry, yeah. Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe guy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But again, those characters, C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, the guy who wrote Alice in Wonderland, they're all around the same period, aren't they? They're all in that same kind of world, aren't they?
Yeah.
Lewis Carroll.
That's him, Lewis Carroll. Well, Lewis Carroll came up in my... it's interesting, all this stuff where they're all intertwined in... again, this is why I called it Echoes of the Huxleys, because all these stories came back to... were all ingrained. Aldous Huxley, his mother were called Julia Arnold, another prominent family. We'll come on to when we're doing the shows. But her family were all authors and that, and they were friends with Lewis Carroll. And Lewis Carroll was an early photographer as well, but he was known for taking photographs of children.
Yeah.
And
that's where he got the idea for Alice from, when he, one of his
One of the characters, yeah. One of the characters. But yeah, anyway, it's an interesting, it's a bit freaky, actually, story. Anyway, another comment, just to finish off, because we're coming up to an hour, from Daddy Mulk. He said, I'm glad you had Mark Bajerski on your podcast. This is a bit of a positive one, on your podcast a couple of times. We need some spiritual advice right now, and I wouldn't know who to listen to, but I believe I was led to your channel for a reason. It wasn't from YouTube, that's for sure. And then you guys led me to Mark. So thanks, Dom and Chris, and Mark. Awesome. And you're right, it takes a lot of us to get through this nonsense, because we're all coming at it from slightly different angles. We all come at it from different places. Mark's got his own unique, Mark Bajerski's got his own unique way of looking at things. Which I'd never view from that angle, neither would Chris, and in vice versa from ours. And I think we need all these. And not only that, it affirms or confirms your points of view when you see several different angles coming to the same answer.
It's funny you say that, actually, fact, because I showed Lou, and it's a guy I listen to occasionally on YouTube. That Swedish guy. He's funny, and I like listening to him. Didn't tell me anything I don't really know. I don't agree with everything he says, but he's really fun. Have you seen him, that big Swedish guy? And he, Swedish for truth, I think he's called. But there was one on there, and I just popped it on in front of my missus, like 8 minutes long. And she said, you know, it's really weird. She wouldn't ever delve into anything we do. And she said, it's really interesting to see him saying things exactly what you talk about from a different point of view. Because obviously she gets bored of listening to me. You know, she starts walking back.
So do I.
But listening to another bloke who's an intelligent guy, you know, he's, I'm guessing, in his 50s, 40s, 50s, and he's talking about the same stuff, because the thing they've got everyone to try and believe, if you're just a BBC watcher, is they were just all lunatics, like twitching, Facebook watching, you know what I mean? But then you get, they fail to tell you that there's doctors and nurses and other folk out there.
It's every walk of life.
Every walk of life who talk like we talk. But they would have you believe they're just twitchy little teenagers in the basement.
Yes.
You know, flicking between knocking one out and watching YouTube videos.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to call that a day for part one, because we've got some other recording to do on the Huxley one. So we're not doing the 3.5 hour marathons that we've been doing. I want to get these Huxley films out. Because there's some really good information on there. So if you're not joining us for part two, we'll see you next Saturday. And if you are, we'll see you on the other side. Bye. Young, before my